Robot L76 Goes Astray by Isaac Asimov, narrated by Peter Coates. Jonathan Quell's eyes crinkled worriedly behind their rimless glasses as he charged through the door labelled General Manager. He slapped the folded paper in his hands upon the desk and panted, "Look at that, boss!" Sam Tobe juggled the cigar in his mouth from one cheek to the other and looked. His hand went to his unshaven jaw and rasped along it.
"Hell," he exploded, "what are they talking about?"
"They say we sent out 5 Al robots," Quell explained, quite unnecessarily.
"We sent 6, said Tobe.
"Sure, 6, but they only got 5 at the other end. They sent out the serial numbers and Al 76 is missing." Tobe's chair went over backward as he heaved his thick bulk upright and went through the door as if he were on greased wheels. It was 5 hours after that, with the plant pulled apart from assembly rooms to vacuum chambers, with every one of the plant's 200 employees put through the third-degree mill, that a sweating, dishevelled Tobe sent an emergency message to the central plant at Schenectady. And at the central plant, a sudden explosion of near panic took place. For the first time in the history of the United States Robots and Mechanical Men Corporation, a robot had escaped to the outer world. It wasn't so much that the law forbade the presence of any robot on Earth outside a licensed factory of the corporation. Laws could always be squared. What was much more to the point was the statement made by one of the research mathematicians. He said, "The robot was created to run a disinto on the moon. Its positronic brain was equipped for a lunar environment, and only a lunar environment. On Earth, it's going to receive 75 umptillion sense impressions for which it was never prepared. There's no telling what its reaction will be. No telling." And he wiped a forehead that had suddenly gone wet with the back of his hand. Within the hour, a stratoplane had left for the Virginia plant. The instructions were simple. "Get that robot and get it fast." Al 76 was confused. In fact, confusion was the only impression his delicate positronic brain retained. It had started when he had found himself in these strange surroundings. How it had come about, he no longer knew. Everything was mixed up. There was green underfoot, and brown shafts rose all about him with more green on top. And the sky was blue, where it should have been black. The sun was all right, round and yellow and hot, but where was the powdery pumice rock underfoot? Where were the huge cliff-like crater rings? There was only the green below and the blue above. The sounds that surrounded him were all strange. He had passed through running water that had reached his waist. It was blue and cold and wet, and when he passed people, as he did occasionally, they were without the spacesuits they should have been wearing. When they saw him, they shouted and ran. One man had levelled a gun at him, and the bullet had whistled past his head, and then that man had run too. He had no idea of how long he had been wandering before he finally stumbled upon Randolph Payne's shack 2 miles out in the woods from the town of Hannaford. Randolph Payne himself, a screwdriver in one hand, a pipe in the other, and a battered ruin of a vacuum cleaner between his knees, squatted outside the doorway. Payne was humming at the time, for he was a naturally happy-go-lucky soul, when at his shack. He had a more respectable dwelling place back in Hannaford, but that dwelling place was pretty largely occupied by his wife, a fact which he silently but sincerely regretted. Perhaps, then, there was a sense of relief and freedom at such times as he found himself able to retire to his special deluxe doghouse, where he could smoke in peace and attend to his hobby of reservicing household appliances. It wasn't much of a hobby, but sometimes someone would bring out a radio or an alarm clock, and the money he would get paid for juggling its insides was the only money he ever got that didn't pass in driblets through his spouse's niggardly hands. This vacuum cleaner, for instance, would bring in an easy 6 bits. At the thought, he broke into song, raised his eyes, and broke into a sweat. The song choked off, the eyes popped, and the sweat became more intense. He tried to stand up, as a preliminary to running like hell, but he couldn't get his legs to cooperate. And then, Al 76 had squatted down next to him and said, "Say, why did all the rest of them run?" Payne knew quite well why they all